All right, so let's go ahead and get to the message for today. And usually on this day we talk about the Feast of Atonement. And I'm going to mention it briefly because the main thrust of my message will deal with fasting and why maybe we fast on this day. Because when you look at this day, in comparison to all the other holy days, is the only day you fast on or are required to fast on. And why is that? Why is this day the day to fast on? I got a couple ideas as to why, because to be honest with you, there is not an answer, okay? The Bible doesn't say, you must fast on atonement because da-da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't lay it out like that. But there are some little clues that we can think about. And I want to talk about fasting in general, and it will relate to the reasoning maybe why fasting is used on this particular day. So we will be addressing fasting from a number of perspectives. And again, not every perspective that we could address it, but we'll be looking at that as the major thrust of our discussion today. So let's just go to Leviticus 23. And Faith started us off with a really good scripture on fasting in general and how God looks at it. You've got to have the right mindset. You've got to have the right focus when you're fasting. You can't just do it out of something of rote acting upon something. Many times Israel did certain religious things that God did not approve of. There's scriptures in the Bible that says, I don't approve of your feasts. It wasn't because the feasts were being kept in a wrong way, on a wrong day or anything like that. Part of that problem had to do with the intentionality of the people in how they were observing those feasts. They were just going through the motions in observing those feast days when God got upset with them. God requires us to keep the feast, to follow the feast as part of His law. And in Leviticus 23 and verse 26, He lays out the Day of Atonement for us. It says, the Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly. Again, that's a holy convocation. That's a coming together to present ourselves before God. And deny yourselves. Now again, we've talked about this in the past. Denying yourself means to fast. There's no doubt about it. Scholarship has brought that forward, and we understand what deny yourselves means. It means to fast and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do no work on that day. So again, it's an annual Sabbath. We're not supposed to do our regular work on this day because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. It's a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourselves from the evening of the 9th day of the month, meaning last night, until the following evening, tonight, you are to observe your Sabbath. So here we have a stipulation about the Day of Atonement. God lays it out for us. That's why we're here today. And when we think about fasting, denying yourself, I'm telling you again, is fasting. What is fasting? We need to look at that to begin with, because some people will make an argument as to fasting could be not eating candy. And you could say that that's fasting in a general sense, because you are denying yourself something. Okay? Or you're denying yourself meat, or you're denying yourself milk. I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church, and on Wednesdays and Fridays during Lent, we didn't eat milk or meat products. So we were denying ourselves in that way. They came up with that fast within the Orthodox Church. That's how they decided to fast. Some people would fast more completely than others. Some people would not eat on certain days, so that's not that it wasn't conducted, but the main fast was against animal products. So against meat and milk and things like that on certain days during Lent. And some people would go completely without animal products during that 40-day period. So it all varied. But what I learned as I started to read about the church and the Church of God movement was this idea of a complete fast, not even drinking water, not even eating any food on a particular day, and this being the Day of Atonement, of course. And there definitely is evidence in the Bible that fasting can mean a complete fast of water and food. And I want to show you an example of this over in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. And I'm not going to get into the controversy about fasting, because some people will tell you, well, fasting can mean just food. Others will say fasting is completely food and water. And, you know, you get different arguments about that. I believe that it's possible that some of the fasts in the Bible may have been completely food and water. I believe some of the fasts might have been just food. And I'll show you a reason why some say that. And again, this isn't a sermon on that subject, but I just want to touch on that briefly. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, it says this. Esther 4:16, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So an argument that is made is, in this particular fast, she then tells them, do not eat or drink. She lays it out, eat or drink. Don't do any of that. In other places in the Bible, when you see the word fast used, you don't have a mentioning of both eating and drinking. It just says fast or deny yourself. Again, the word means to deny yourself. Many will tell you that denying yourself means a complete fast. I'm not going to take either viewpoint here. I'm just going to say that this is part of the debate and the dialogue about what do we mean exactly by fasting here. In this case, there's no doubt about what she meant by fasting, not eating and drinking. I believe that on this particular day, you shouldn't eat or drink. That's my opinion. But again, I'm not going to define this for people. It says to deny yourself. And most believe that that means a complete fast of eating and drinking. No water, no food on this particular day. When we read about other fasts in the Bible, again, there's controversy about that. Some say, how can you fast for 40 days? I'll give you an example. We have examples of people who fasted longer than 40 days with no food. I'm speaking about Irish Republican Army captors in Great Britain a number of years ago. What happened to some of those guys after 40, 50, 60, some went 70, 80 days without eating? They started to go blind. Their body began to break down. Some of them died through the fast that they were on. Some went without food or water. As I recall, I'd have to do a little more research on it. But either way, the body definitely is harmed if you go that long without food or water, no doubt about it. Even without food that long, the body begins to break down. But some of those people survived after fasting 40 or 50 days without food. Just to make you aware, we've had people pulled out of earthquakes who were underground for 14 days, didn't have any food or water. They survive. Some of the young ones, they pull them out. They just take them to the hospital, check them out. They're a little dehydrated, of course. That would be obvious. But they're okay. They're okay. So, you know, this is a whole subject that could go in depth with, and we aren't. But I just wanted to get us thinking about this. And then thinking about it from this perspective. That yes, God requires a fast on a particular day, the Day of Atonement. That's the only one He requires a fast. But from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you have numerous examples of religious people fasting and God being okay with it. In fact, probably promoting it, because who fasted for 40 days and nights? Jesus Christ. He's our example. So I think we need to think about that example. And my contention today, what I'm going to leave you with today, hopefully, is maybe I need to fast a little bit more, okay?
And again, I'm going to let you decide when you fast, how you fast. That's for you. But definitely we want to fast on this particular day according to what Scripture tells us to do here. But why would we want to fast and do more of it? I want to make that case today. I want to begin over in the book of Jeremiah 36 and verse 9. Jeremiah 36, 9. And along the way, we will be answering hopefully a question as to why a fast on this particular day and no other holy day. And what is special about this day that might relate to fasting? In Jeremiah 36 and verse 9, I'd like to read that to you here. Here's what we have, Jeremiah 36 and verse 9. In the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and those who had come from the towns of Judah. So a time of fasting is declared. And this is just one example. There are other examples in the Bible where the king or a religious figure would say, we got to fast, gang. We've done this thing, or we've done that thing, or we want this to happen, or we want to pray for that. And a fast was called. We've done this within the Church of God International. When we were going through all our problems in the mid-90s with the Garner Ted situation, we called a fast for the whole church. And the reason we were doing that was for this reason. When we go to the Bible, we see examples that when they were in turmoil, when there was trouble for Israel, they would call a fast and let God know that they were really serious and focusing on this issue, and they wanted the Father's will to be taken out on whatever that situation was. So here's one example of that. Let's look at another example over in the book of Jonah. Let's turn back to Jonah for a moment. And in Jonah, I'm going to Job. Okay, let me go to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. Jonah 3 and verse 5. Here's what it says there. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Now here's the thing. Remember what was going to happen to these folks. They were going to be destroyed. Okay? And Jonah had a message for them, and they listened to the message. And the evidence that they listened was the fact that they fasted. And they were not destroyed at this time. Later on, they got destroyed because they went back to their old ways. But for this period of time, they were not destroyed. In other words, God heard and saw this. He was impacted by a fast. So if you've got the right intentionality when you're fasting, God is aware of it and He wants it. That's the case I'm making for fasting. That this is something, it is a tool that can be used by physical human beings to get closer to God in some way. And I'm going to express more as to why you get closer when you carry out this religious practice, but I want to show you that this is what we see in the biblical record. Another example is in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 19. Zechariah 8 and verse 19. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now listen to what He's saying. This is important, because what did I tell you today? He only says one day that we must fast on, right? Okay, God has stipulated that in the Bible. But notice what the Lord, Yahweh, is saying right here. Zechariah 8, verse 19. Who's speaking? Yahweh speaking here. Okay? This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He's saying there's a fast in the 4th month, the 5th month, the 7th month, and the 10th month. What are these fasts he's talking about? Because in his law, it doesn't say that there's a fast in the 4th, the 5th, the seventh and the tenth month. Well, he does say there's one in the seventh month. That's today's, okay? But what about these other fasts? It sounds like he's okay with them, right? I mean, that's him speaking, okay? And he's okay with something the people did, okay? It was in tune with him because he set up fasting as a practice for today. So we know that this is a practice we can do at other times, just like offerings. We say that three times a year you should provide an offering to the Lord. Okay, we get that and we do that. But we say, you want to give more? That's fine too. Because why? He has set up this idea of offering, and they offered other things on other days of the year, and they could do it when they wanted to also. I believe fasting is in the same category because he's okay with their fasting as long as it's done in the right frame of mind. Rather than look at me like the Pharisees were saying when they fasted, oh, woe is me, I'm fasting 2 days a week, look at me, okay? We don't want to do that, okay? But it's okay to fast more than one day. In fact, Israel had fasts for particular days on specific months. Now, why did they have those fasts? That's important to understand. And when you research these fasts, what you find out is this. Many of these fasts on these particular months were coming out of what had happened during the Babylonian captivity. For example, the fast in the fourth month, and I'm not going to go over all these scriptures, but I will let you know what they are. If I'll look at one of them. Let's look at the fourth month fast. If you do research on it, what the scholars say is it relates to this event. Go back to 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25. And verse 3 and 4 I'll read. 2 Kings 25 and verse 3. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army fled at night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, though the Babylonians were surrounding the city. They fled toward the Arabah, but the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. This particular event, if you study this, you find that this fast in the fourth month related to this event where there was no food for them left in the city. They made a hole in the wall and they tried to escape. And the Babylonians, who were sieging Jerusalem at this time, finally took them, okay, took them over. And the fast in the fifth month refers to what you read in verses 8 through 10. So you see on the seventh month, on the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard and official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple. So again, this really impacted the people. So they had a fast in the fifth month because the temple of God, the temple where they believed God was residing with them, was burned on this particular date. If you go for the seventh month feast, or the seventh month fast, of course we're fasting today. But something else also occurred right at this time in the seventh month, verses 22 through 25 of the same chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahiakam, the son of Shaphan, to be over the people he had left behind in Judah. When all the army officers and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah as governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, son of Netaniah, Yohanan, son of Kariah, Sariah, son of Tanumith, the Netophathite, Jazaniah, the son of the Maccathite, and their men. Gedaliah took an oath to reassure them and their men. Do not be afraid of the Babylonian officials, he said. Settle down in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well with you. In the seventh month, however, Ishmael, son of Netaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal blood, came with 10 men and assassinated Gedaliah and also the men of Judah and the Babylonians who were with him at Mizpah. So again, a fast is done in regard to that event right there. And then on the 10th month, they had a fast mourning because of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And they mentioned 2 Kings 25 and verse 1 in relation to that fast. The point I want to make, though, is this. Here's the point in relation to what we're talking about. In each of these occurrences, the reason they were fasting was because of some negative thing that had befallen them. Something bad had happened to them. And they wanted to remember this, keep it in their mind as to what had happened in the past. Hopefully, to let them know once they get back into the good graces of God, they need to operate in a different manner than they had before, because the Babylonians were allowed to come in because they were not following the ways of the Lord anymore. Now, another example of fasting, we'll just show you a New Testament example, is over in Luke 18, verse 12. Keeping all this background in mind, why did the religious leaders of Israel at the time of Christ fast? Well, a lot of it was because of this background they have in the Old Testament. They were aware of everything I'm telling you right now, and we see an example of this over in Luke 18, verse 2, where this idea of more of fasting on other days continued. And in Luke 18, 2, it says, "He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who..." I'm sorry, 18 verse 12, not verse 2. 18 verse 12 of Luke. And here we read, "I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." This is a Pharisee speaking. Again, a little story here, the Pharisee and the tax collector. So, some Pharisees would fast twice a week. They would make a big show of it. So this concept of fasting continued throughout the history of the people of God. And we see this example in Jesus' time where this individual is mentioning fasting twice a week. So when we get to atonement, I want to get back to my question now with that little introduction. When we get to atonement, what is it about atonement that makes it different from other holy days? Well, let's think about atonement for a minute. What happened on this day was the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and the sacrifice would be made there for the entire community for the whole year. And so if you read up on this, what they understood was happening was when he went into the Holy of Holies and made that specific sacrifice on that specific day, that all the sins of the community were gone for the whole last year. They were actually freed, in a sense, from all that sin, at least for that moment. Okay? Now, I know they're going to start sinning that night, the next day, in their heads. It's going to happen. But for that moment, it was as if they were sinless for a moment, at least. You get what I'm saying? That's why they called it at-one-ment. They were at one with who? Yeah, with God, with YHWH, with the Tetragrammaton, with Yahweh. They were at one with Him in that moment, on that day. Now, think about that for a minute. Being at one with who? In order to be at one with God, you got to be holy, right? And we know we're not holy. Okay? God needs holiness. Okay? So now think about that. Does fasting do something to us that gets us closer to that state? That's my contention. I'm not saying fasting makes you holy. I didn't say that. But is there something physiologically, does it do something to our body physically that alters us in a physical way? Yes, it does. And I'm going to give you some of that evidence right now. So what I'm getting at is this. I believe that the reason the fast is called on this particular day is when you look at the holy days through history, through the whole history of humanity, you know, you got, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you got all those symbols involved with that. But with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're still human, right, when that happened. Christ died for us, so He gets us to get eternal life if we follow through and everything goes the way the plan goes. But we're still human with the days of unleavened bread, right? You move forward to Pentecost, okay, the first fruits, okay? It's talking about something that's going to happen. We are, in a sense, the first fruits. We're the first ones that will be resurrected, okay? But it still hasn't occurred yet, right? So as you follow these holy days out, when you get to the fall holy days and you go with trumpets, the trumpets blasting, Jesus returning, when He returns, we're still human right as He's returning. But what happens right as He gets to the atmosphere? What happens? We change, right? Those of us who are the true Christians are altered and resurrected, and we transform into spiritual bodies, right? Now we're part of the family, really part of the family in a much greater sense. Because what? Our bodies have been transformed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where are we in the order of holy days? Trumpet blasts, He starts to come down. The next holy day in order is atonement. And what did atonement mean? At one with God. So all I'm saying is, chronologically, atonement at one with God fits right after trumpets. Trumpets occurs, the blasts are made, He begins His journey down, meets us in the air in our transformed state. We are now holy in a sense. We definitely are one with Him because we've been transformed into His, not as good, as great as Him, but His level in a new spiritual body. So is it possible, and again, this is my opinion, okay, is it possible that the transforming that occurs with us physically on this day, get a little lightheaded, you know, get a little more focused, and I'm going to talk about some things, when you fast longer than 3 days, folks, some real crazy stuff starts happening to you in your head. Okay? Good stuff, some say. And I'll give you a quote from somebody. And again, I'm not advocating us fasting that long. You need to work yourself up to things like that. But Mahatma Gandhi went on numerous fasts for more than three days, folks. And many religious people have done this. And they feel that they've gotten great gains from it. And I'm not telling us to fast for a week or 2 weeks or anything like that. But I just want to talk about that a little bit and the transformation that occurs in you physiologically. Now, that's my contention. Let me back it up with a little bit of information that may help us understand why I think the fast is called on this day because of the change from your physical into your spiritual body that occurs right after the trumpet blast, which would chronologically lead to atonement, being at one with God. How are we at one with God? We have been transformed into another body, into a spiritual body. How does fasting relate to that? Here are some stats I want, or some facts I want to give you. And again, you can research this. It's all out there on the web, various sources that you can look at. Here are just some changes that occur based upon fasting. And when I say fasting, I'm talking 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Some of these will be more, and I'll express that. So one thing fasting does for you physically is it rests your digestive system. Now, why should you rest your digestive system? Here's why. Your digestive system is the greatest energy gobbler of the systems in your body. In other words, it takes more energy than all of your other systems in your body to digest food. Think about that for a minute. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you see me eat sometimes on a potluck, I tend to put more away. That's because other times I'm not eating as much, okay, in my typical time. But on Sabbaths and you know, Friday night meal or whatever, I might have a little bit more. When you think of putting all that food into your belly, what happens to it? It can't just sit there. It has to be broken down and moved throughout your body to nourish you. That takes a lot of energy within your body for all that to happen. A lot's going on when you start eating something, and it's not just the juices in your stomach that break it down. Those nutrients have to then be moved throughout the body through this system we call digestion. So your digestive system is one of the most energy-draining systems in the body, and that energy that you don't use to digest can then be used for other reasons by your body. So that's what I'm getting at here. What are those other things? Well, some people say they get more of a clear head when they are fasting. Okay? Some might call it lightheadedness, but depends on who you talk to. That lightheadedness that you begin to feel, if you go with it, it might start to become a clearer thinking that you have if you just go beyond one day. Another thing it does is it speeds up your metabolism. Now, we know as we get older, our metabolism slows down. I don't eat as much as I used to. I'm not as hungry as I used to be either, okay? And part of the reason is because your metabolism slows down as you get older. When you don't eat, you are helping your metabolism, especially if you're older, because you're giving it time to work through all that stuff that's been put down there from before. Another major thing about fasting, again, even one day fast is good, but if you go farther than one day, there's a cleansing and a detoxification of your body. Why would that be good? It's good when you don't eat for a while because you then allow the energy in your body to be used for immune fighting purposes. For if there are viruses in your body, if there are bacteria in your body that are negative for your body, your immune system can put more energy towards that instead of worrying about the toxins that might have come in through the food that you've just eaten. Okay? And all food will have at least some toxins, okay? Even good food, okay? There are certain things that still got to be put through the waste. And that takes effort and energy for your body to do. And when you give your body a break from time to time from eating, even if you just skip lunch, okay, or whatever it may be, you're giving it extra hours there to consolidate that energy and those forces to do other things for your body. This is what MDs, doctors are saying. Let me give you a quote from a doctor. His name's Elson Haas. He says this, "From a medical point of view, I believe fasting is not utilized enough. Fasting is the single greatest natural healing therapy. It is nature's ancient universal remedy for many problems. Animals instinctively fast when they are ill." And I've seen my cat do this, okay? I'm not saying, oh, the cat's not eating. I'm thinking something's wrong. That cat's over there sleeping all day. Next thing I know, the cat's up the next day. He's ready to go. He knows or she knows what to do. Luna, Brianna, you know, sometimes when she doesn't eat, she sleeps all day or whatever.
It's a she.
Yeah, it's a she. Okay, here's something else about fasting. It helps with insulin sensitivity, especially for people who are diabetic. Insulin becomes more effective in telling cells to take up the glucose from the blood. When you fast, you are allowing the insulin that's working in your body to do a better job than it typically does when you're eating on a regular basis. So again, folks who are diabetic, I know there are issues with sugar and things of that nature where some people need to take it in at certain times, and I totally get that. But it helps with insulin sensitivity. Get this. This one relates to what I was saying earlier about this concept of physiological changes within the body. Now, this is going out a little bit further. The longest I've ever fasted is 3 days and three nights. Complete fast, 3 days and three nights, no food, no water. I'll be honest with you. First day, just like today, I get a little hungry, start to feel it at the end of the day. But I got to be honest with you. When I got into day two, and then I got into day three, both of those days felt similar, and the hunger was not there. You kind of reach this plateau where you're just, this is just how I feel. It's a different feeling, I will say that. And I'm sure if the first time I ever fasted for a whole day, I definitely felt it. I definitely felt it. The first time I ever did it, I can remember that day. But as I went along in my church history, fasting for one day was not a big deal anymore. When I went for 2-3 days a couple times, that I felt something different physiologically. I felt a little lightheaded, but it wasn't a bad feeling. I still didn't have problems moving around, etc., etc. What I'm getting at is, if you think you want to do more than a day fast, you know, be careful with it, but there might be some positive ramifications from it, and that's what I'm going to read to you right now. This is coming from a psychiatric doctor. His name is Gabriel Cousins. Listen to what he says. This is very interesting. He's talking about patients he's had over the years who suffered various mental problems. And listen to what he says. He doesn't define what he means by 4 days of fasting. I don't know if it means just food or food and water, whatever it was. But again, it's telling you, you know, I've gone to 3 days. I haven't gone into that extra point here. This was a 4 days of fasting. From a medical point of view, I often observe in the fasting participants that by 4 days of fasting, concentration improves, creative thinking expands, depression lifts, insomnia stops. That might be because you just need that energy to sleep, okay? Insomnia stops, anxieties fade, the mind becomes more tranquil, and a natural joy begins to appear. It is my hypothesis that when physical toxins are cleared from the brain cells, mind-brain function automatically and significantly improves, and spiritual capacity expands. This, he's talking of a long fast here, a 4 day fast. Okay, but I can tell you at the end of 3 days, I wanted to eat, of course, but I didn't feel like I had to eat at the end of that 3 days. I just wasn't there. And I was shocked by that. I thought after 3 days, I would be like famished. But I wasn't, because something was going on in my head. My head felt different. I don't know if it was positive or negative, because I hadn't been there before. But it was just a different feeling that I had, okay? This guy's talking about going to that 4th day, and some stuff starts happening to people who have mental issues. My contention is that 1-day, 2-day, a fast, it is good for you physiologically. When you start to get to that 4th day, he's talking about the brain cells now clearing up. Because you got all this gunk in your body, okay? This gunk comes from the air we breathe, the stress we feel, and the food we intake, okay? And that stuff gets moved throughout the body in different ways. And it sounds like what he thinks happens is that by the 4th day, your brain cells start to clear out this stuff. Now, sleep will do that too. Sleep helps you clear your head also if you get enough sleep during the night. But isn't it interesting that God also tells us to rest one day a week, okay? So all this stuff seems to work together. One more quote I'd like to read here comes from the book, The Self-Health Guide. And this is what it says. You feel fit. This is the quote. When we fast, energy is freed for a thorough house cleaning of the system. That feeling of physical lightness that I was experiencing, that I was telling you about, has to do probably with that energy dissipation within the body that's taking place The energy is no longer being used in a certain way, the way it is every day. And anytime you do something new, whether it's an exercise or whatever it is, you feel a little sore if you haven't done that exercise before. Okay? But once you do that exercise a few times, just like one day of fasting, now for me, I feel energized up here right now. I don't feel like I'm dragging. Okay? And that I believe that that has some validity here just from my personal experience and what these other folks are saying about it. Okay, so enough about that. So again, the point I'm trying to make, why might this day be the day that the fast occurred? Because maybe when we fast for one day at least, that physiological change that we are all experiencing in one degree or another can relate to that major transformation that occurs when we become at one with God. That's a major point I was trying to make there. Now again, a couple more things I just want to finish up on here. The length of the fast. You know, we mentioned this guy talking about 4 days. I said 3 days. I really started to feel something. Let's just look at the Bible at a couple examples of longer than a day fast. One of them is in 1 Samuel 31. 1 Samuel 31 and verse 13. 1 Samuel 31, 13. Okay, 1 Samuel 31, 13. Then they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh. And they fasted 7 days. So here we have a fast due to mourning. And this fast takes place for 7 days. Again, could have been no food and drink. May have been just food. I don't know. We aren't given full details there. But definitely a fast is occurring there for 7 days. And of course, we're familiar with an Old Testament fast of 40 days. I'm not going to get to that, but I will show you Matthew 4 and verse 2. And who's our spiritual leader, our guide, Yeshua, Messiah, the Christ? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. I'll pick Matthew 4, 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, yeah, isn't that a obvious statement there? He was hungry, okay? So definitely, but look at the length he went to here. Now, what was he doing at this time also? He was having a battle with Satan, okay? A spiritual battle. And what was I telling you about the head clearing and the something happens up here? When you don't have any energy left, maybe it all goes here. Did he know something we don't know? To go this extreme with the fast. Okay? That's something else just to think about as you think about what? And here's what I'm going to leave you with today. Here's what I want you to think about. What should I do in regard to fasting? We talk about prayer. And we have a prayer list. We talk about coming together on the holy days. We talk about keeping the Sabbath holy, resting on the Sabbath. We talk about Bible study. We talk about meditation. I was about to say medication there, okay? Meditation. And we mention fasting sometimes in that list, all right? But usually fasting is at the bottom of that list. All I'm saying is try it a little bit more. Over the next year, see if you can pick a day here or a day there where you can fast on your own for a day and have a focus within that fast, an intentionality for that fast. Maybe you're praying about someone. Remember the scripture that says only through fasting and prayer did this come out, these demons they were talking about. And remember the examples you have in the Bible where when the people did fast, it did have an impact to God. He mentioned it, okay? He even says they got to fast on these particular days in those months. He says your fast will be a joy. He didn't have an issue with it because it sounds like they had the right intent because it was relating to those bad incidents that had happened in their history where they had done wrong And they were acknowledging that, and that's why they were fasting on those days. If you've got the right intention, I believe this can be used as a spiritual tool for you to bring you closer in your relationship and your walk with God. I'll leave you with one final quote from a very famous American, Benjamin Franklin. He said this, "The best of all medicines is resting and fasting." That's what Ben Franklin says, and I think he was a pretty smart guy.